Let us begin this week's Parashat Shkolim. The Eileh HaMishpatim Asher Tosim. We have two Sefer Torah. We will learn this week. We spend time on this. The Eileh HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem. So let's first discuss a few things. First of all, let's start with a symbol. Not, it's not even a symbol, but a Dvar Musar. Mishpat. In the law, what is the word, when we say the word Mishpat, what comes to mind? Law. Yikoiv Hadin es hohar. There's an expression in the Gemara, let the din penetrate the mountain. Yeah, we have a mountain. There's nothing that's stronger in this earth, in this world, than stone. A mountain is a massive, massive stone. Isn't that what a mountain is? It's rock. There's a law. Chayiv, Potter, Osir, Mutter. There's a law. In war, in love and war, all is fair. All is fair in love and war, right? Too bad. If you're chayiv, you're chayiv. I don't care about your feelings, your emotions, your hashkafa in life. Yikoiv hadin es ahari. It's hard really to get a grasp on that expression. That's an expression that's used in the Gemara. It means the law is the law, whether you like it or not. Okay, we're not, no nonsense. This is the law. This is the way it is. That is, I think, when we say the word mishpat, melech oyhev tzedaka u'mishpat. Mishpat has a connotation of midas hadin. Midas hadin. And then midas hara, what is rachamim? Really, oh, you should go to jail for how many days? Rogers? How many months? 4 months.
40.
What? 40 months. 3 years. Four 3 years. But the president says, it looks like I'm going to exonerate him. That's what he said in his speech. Now he says he's not. It looks like I'm going to exonerate him. Okay? This din. The din is guilty. Go to jail. Don't pass go. Then there's rachamim. Rachamim. Rachamim is, no, I'm the president. You're my friend. I like you. I'm great. I can do whatever I want. I will exonerate you. That's called rachamim. But mishpat, everybody said, please, everybody said, what is mishpat? Mishpat is, this is the law. There's no room in mishpat for any degree of rachamim. The pasuk here says, ve'ele ha-mishpatim. Okay, this is an expression in and of itself. Then there are three more words, asher, tosim lifnehem. Who is the subject of the word lifnehem? The truth is Rashi says, contradicts himself. Rashi says lifnehem refers to the common man, and then Rashi later on says it refers to the court.
Right.
But right now, let's learn Rashi's first interpretation, the common man. And what does this mean? Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that when you teach Torah, don't just teach the student the lesson one time or two times. Let me read you the words of Rashi. That's very beautiful words. Omar loy HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. Loy tala al daitecha. Let it not enter your mind. Loymar, to say, Eshne lohem haperek. I'll teach them the chapter. V'hahalocha, the lesson, the law. Beis oy gimel pa'amim. Ad shetehe sidura bifihem kimishnasa. Until they know it the way it's supposed to be known. Kimishnah sa means accurately. I will do my job very well. I'm here to teach you the halacha. I will not leave the room until you know it inside out perfectly. Kimishnah sa, the way it's with accuracy, no missing or added letters. But that's it. Ve'eini matriach atzmi lehavinam. I'm not going to trouble myself to make them understand the reasons and its interpretation. In other words, there's a limit to how much I will do. I have a job. In the job description, it's called mishpat. I have a contract. The contract says the rabbi does A, B, C, D. The rabbi comes to shul on Shabbos, he gives a drasha, he gives a share during the week, And that's it. It doesn't say in my contract I have to go to unveilings. It doesn't say I have to go to a yahrzeit suda. It doesn't say I have to participate in this and that. I have a contract. Whatever it says in the contract, that is it. You got a problem? Take me to court. Mishpat. Mishpat. Take me to court. Take me to court. We'll go to court. What's the claim? I want my salary. You owe me for a month $5,000. The balabatim say he doesn't do his job. So the judge will say, Mishpat. Go, what's the job? You have a contract? When you got to become married, you have a contract? So contract says... It does say? Okay, so maybe that... how many people? People. Lashon Rav, two people. It says every single person, and you'll sit there, you'll analyze the contract. Did I do what it says in the contract? Yes, you did. Does it say that you will pay me $5,000 a month if I do what it says in the contract? Yes, it does. So you win. The rabbi wins. But that's mishpat. That's mishpat. Moshe Rabbeinu has a contract to teach Klal Yisrael the Torah. So Moshe will sit down with Klal Yisrael, one at a time, whatever the story is, and teach them the pasuk, and have them repeat word for word until they memorize it and they got it. They know what it says, they know the Rashi, they know the Ramban.
Mishpatim means a sentence in the story.
And they know there's a contract exactly.
Not to judge.
Not right. Mishpat. Mishpat, what is Mishpat? Mishpat means law. The Eilah HaMishpatim, whatever the law is. Hashem says, Lo sale al daitcha loymar. Don't you dare make a mistake and think that's all you got to do. Moshe Rabbeinu, when you have a contract to teach the students Torah, you got to take them to a baseball game. And you got to put your hand around their shoulders and be mechazik them and sit down the kumzitz and invite. Not anymore. Okay, not anymore. Okay. And you got to take them. You have to invite them to a malava malka. And you have to on Purim. You have to make a little party for them in your house. Where does it say in the contract of any rebbe in yeshiva they have to invite the students on Purim and Hanukkah and go with them to a baseball game and inquire after their good and welfare and show them some respect? Where does it say this in the contract of a Rebbe in Yeshiva Ketane? Does it say this? Doesn't say this. Hashem says, L'sale al daitecha, to think you're just gonna lay out the law and go home and go to sleep. Asher tosim lifnehem. The word tosim lifnehem, according to Rashi, has a connotation. Lekach nemar, asher tosim lifnehem, kishulchon, like a table, ha'aruch, that is arranged, umuchon, that is prepared, lechol, to eat, lifnei ha'adam. On a table, you have the table. All four legs. You don't need four legs, three legs is good enough. Just don't tip it. Right? The table can stand on three legs. Just your problem. Don't press down on the sides. No, you have four legs, you have a tablecloth, you have a napkin, you have a plate, you have a spoon, a fork, a knife. Do any of the men here know how to set a table setting? Where does the fork, and where does the spoon go? Where does the fork go? The large fork, the small fork? Does everyone here know? Does everyone here give you a bechin? Does everyone know how to do these things? What?
The outside is what you use first, and then you move closer.
Okay, and the napkin ring, a shulchan aruch. There's a lot of bells and whistles on a shulchan to eat. All you need to eat, you just need the food. I'll eat with my bare hands. I don't need a table. I don't need a chair. I don't need utensils. No, kishulchan aruch. There's a lot that goes into setting a table. That's what it means. Asher tosim lifnehem kishulchan aruch, and everything is muchun umazuman to eat. Beautiful, very, very powerful words in Rashi. Rashi's analogy kishulchan aruch umuchun lechol lifnei ha'adam. That's now. Let's put the pasuk back together. By the goyim, by the umay sa'olam, go work for the. I actually know someone who, not so pleasant. Who works in the public school system, and his superiors are mamish, they're roidev after him to make his life miserable. It's going on for years. I have someone I know, someone I'm close with, one of my relatives. The public school system, they don't like him. I don't know why. Whatever. Maybe I do know why, but they don't like him, and they're roidef after him to push him out. And he's always and they're always giving him the worst class, and they're doing this, doing that. But he takes it to court. He has a lot of activity going on. Am I doing my job? Am I doing my job? What's in the contract? So the city of New York, you work for the city of New York, they have a very, very big contract. It's a lot of things that people don't even know what it says in the contract. Okay, everything has to be there, because if it's not there, then someone indeed is going to you're going to have a big problem in the court system. By klal, that's called mishpat. If it's not in the contract, you're not obligated. Look at that, I'm the guilty one here. I'm the guilty one here. If you're not in the, it's not in the contract, you're not in the contract, it's not going to happen. Along comes the pasuk says, Ve'ele ha-mishpotim. By klal Yisrael, that's not the way it works. The translation of mishpat is, lifnim mishura sadin. Asher tosim lifnehem. Take the two parts of the pasuk and put it together, and it creates a new translation of mishpat in klal Yisrael. The definition of law is, you have an, it's lisal al daitecha, that mishpat should just be. Combine the two parts of the pasuk, it's a little bit of a drush. The translation of law of mishpat is not, doesn't say, I'm exempt. No. The translation is, asher tosim lifnehem. Fulfill the spirit of the law. Lesala al daiticha. Don't even think that you just have to do what it says in the contract. If you are an employee and you have a contract, the law is to go above and beyond, to bring, to fulfill what is the essence of the law. What is the spirit of the law? You're a Rebbe. The Rebbe's job is to be Malamei Torah La'amo Yisrael. And that means to have a Hanukkah party, to have a Purim party, to go take them to a baseball game, to show that you care about them, to have a relationship with them, even though it's not in the contract. And Leisala al Daitecha Loimar, that it's anything other than that. That is Mishpat in Yados. And with that, we can appreciate the end of the parasha. This week's parasha is Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naseh V'Nishma. We have two psukim in this week's parasha. Last week we had one parasha, one pasuk, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naseh. And then we have Nochamol Naseh V'Nishma. We have again a Naseh and a Naseh V'Nishma. Vayavoy Moshe. Then it goes further. What's going on here? What's going on over here? Back to back, we have two psukim of Naseh, and then Naseh V'Nishma. Let me explain. Perek of Dalet is a very complex perek, end of the parasha. According to Rashi, everything in Perek of Dalet took place before Matan Torah. Ein muktam u'me'uchar b'Torah. That's how Rashi learns. Pasik Aleph, Parasha Zo, Nemra, Koidem, Aseres HaDibros. Last week was Parashas Yisro. Last week we read the Aseres HaDibros. But this is going back before the Aseres HaDibros. Okay, B'dal B'Siva, Nemar Loi Alei. That's Rashi. Ramban disagrees. It's a very beautiful Ramban. Very easy Ramban, easy to read. Rambans are usually very hard. This was a very simple Ramban. And he writes, he quotes Rashi, and he says, Who says Rashi is right, that this took place before Matan Torah? What's the problem? You can learn the Pesukim, Pesukim HaShemayim, this took place after Matan Torah. So let's now, for the moment, learn like the Ramban. This took place after Matan Torah. Moshe comes down from Har Sinai, and he presents all of the laws. Vil Moshe Omar Aleh Al Hashem At. Now Moshe is going to go up for another 40 days, which led to the Shvir Saluchais. And Moshe comes, Vayava Moshe Vaisapr Al Ami Iskol Divrei Hashem Viskol Al Mishpatim, and he reviews with them not just the Aseres HaDibros, the Raman, he reviews with them everything. The whole Parashas Mishpatim, Matan Torah, the Aseres HaDibros, was just the tip of the iceberg. That began, Moshe gave them over all the laws, and the people said, Vayan kol om kol echad vayomru kol advar masher diber Hashem na'aseh. So I want to say a drush that Moshe was very disappointed. Because Moshe taught them in the beginning of the parasha, ve'eile ha-mishpatim, what's the taich of mishpat? Just the law? The contract? If it doesn't say in the contract that you have to go to an unveiling, you don't go to an unveiling? Is that mishpat? I have a contract. Follow the contract. Hashem said to Moshe, le'sale al-daiticha lo'imah. Don't even think like that. You got a job, you do what it says in the contract, and you do a lot more. That's called mishpat. And Moshe, when Hashem taught that to Moshe, Moshe conveyed that to Klal Yisrael. So Moshe now is expecting, do you get it? You are willing to be mekabel the Torah the same way Hashem told me? Moshe, it says to Klal Yisrael, vayavoy Moshe, Vayisaper la'am eis kol divrei Hashem v'eis kol ha-mishpatim. And you know what the people say? It's very nice. We'll do what it says in the contract. And not one word more. Vayan kol la'am kol echad vayoymru kol ha-dvarim, everything, asher diber Hashem na'aseh. Moshe presents the mishpat. We'll do the mishpat. Moshe says, you know what? I ain't going nowhere yet. We got to settle something over here. I have an appointment with the Ribbono Shel Olam to go to Shemayim for another 40 days, but you know something? Hashem can wait. Because you just don't get it. I brought down to you the Aseres HaDibros. I presented to you everything within Parashas Mishpatim, plus a lot more, and you just don't get it. So Moshe says, Ribbono Shel Olam, you got to wait for me. I have to settle some business here. Vayichtov Moshe. Moshe starts all over again. Moshe sees the people don't get it. So he writes everything down, Eis kol divrei Hashem, Vayashkem Baboiker, and now he elaborates. He takes Klal Yisrael and he does ceremonial things. Vayivin Mizbeach, Tachas Ahar, Shemeshre Matseva, Lishnei Moshe Shifte Yisrael, Vayishlach es nare bnei Yisrael, Vayalu Oilois, Vayizuch Zvachim, Shlom Lashem Parim, they bring Zvachim, they bring Shlomim, Shlomim, you eat Shlomim, he made a Chanukah Mesiba here. That's really what I'm trying to say over here. He sees the people that don't get it. He sees they need a little more Chizuk. So, the next day, he makes a Mizbeach, and they bring sacrifices, not Oilois. It doesn't say Oilois. It says, they brought oilois, but by Yizbuchu Zvachim Shlomim. Shlomim, you eat Shlomim. You eat the Bailim, eat the Shlomim. La Hashem, Parim. Then Moshe, he did some ceremonial things. Vikach Moshe, Chatzi Hadam, Vayasma, Ma'agonois, they put them in bowls, Vayachatzi Hadam, Zorka Mizbeach. And then Moshe, Nochamol, Vayikach Sefer Habris, the book that he wrote down, Vayikrob Ozne Ha'om, he read it. What do you mean? He already told him everything yesterday. What is he doing this all over again? Because the people yesterday all did not want to, they didn't want to do more than the letter of the law. Now they finally said, Vayoimru, kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. Now they didn't just say na'aseh. They said nishma. What does nishma mean? We will understand. Nishma means depth. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Tanya, Farshim will say, Nishma means the understanding, the depth of the matter. We're not just going to do the letter of the law. We're going to go beyond the Naaseh. We're going to go into an element of Nishma, of depth and understanding of the spirit of the law, and fulfill the mitzvahs with the Nishma. which means that even though it does not say in the contract you have to do A, B, and C, it's self-understood. That's part of the package. So I'm suggesting over here is to tie the beginning of the parasha with the end of the parasha. End of the parasha is a very big struggle. What is going on? Why is there a naseh? Why is then a naseh v'nishma? And why in between the naseh v'nishma does Moshe build 12 mizbechos? Does everyone bring oilois and shlomim? And Moshe, he writes down a book. And Moshe, nochamol, vayikra bi'oznei ha'om. He reads all over again. It says already in the beginning that Moshe, it says, before Moshe ascends, v'nigash Moshe levado l'shavim, v'yavosh v'yisap, it says, v'yisaper la'om, eis kol divrei Hashem. It said before, v'yisaper. And now it says, v'yikra. By the way, what's the difference between the word sipur and yikra? V'yikra is lashon of chiba. Kriya is, we have that in v'yikra Moshe. Vayikra Moshe, there's a small aleph. Why did Moshe write a small aleph? Because Moshe was embarrassed that Hashem called him with love. Lush of Yokar. Yokar with an aleph has a connotation that there's an elaboration. Bilam is Vayikar Hashem leBilam. Hashem just happened to accidentally meet Bilam. Accidentally. So Moshe was embarrassed that Hashem showed love for him. So look at the difference. In the beginning, Vayavo Moshe Vayisaper, Sipur. Sipur has the connotation, you go through all the details. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. What's the connotation of Sipur? Don't just give me an overview of what happened. Sipur means let's go through every last detail of the story of the Exodus. Moshe gave them, okay, not I say a boring shiur. I say that. He just went through the details. He went through all of the laws dry. A dry shear. He told over every last nuance. Every last nuance there is in the Torah. Eis kol divrei Hashem, eis kol ha-mishpatim. The mishpatim, what the law is. But the people said, you know what? Naseh. Moshe saw that they really don't understand that in Yadus, Mishpat is more than just details. It's more than just contracts and torts and a court system. There's a spirit to the law. And Moshe therefore had to start all over again with a different approach. A chassidish approach. Food. Isn't that what it says here? Food. He made an approach. They built mizbechos. For what purpose? So they can bring food. They can offer oilos, of course. You know, you have to bring the oilos l'Hashem. But also it says shalom. Shalom is a very strange carbon. By the goyim, there's no such thing in other religions of eating your sacrifice. When you bring a sacrifice to a god, you don't eat it. The god gets it. It's burnt. This is a very novel concept that you bring a sacrifice to Hashem and you eat it. A shalom, 95% of the carbon, you eat. He brought a new process. Let's build mizbechos, and we're going to bring sacrifices, and we're going to eat them. This is like a chassidish mahalach. And then he repeats everything that he taught them with a different word. Instead of the word vayisaper, giving them a long 10-hour shiur going through every single detail, vayikra beoznei, vayikra miloshen yikar, precious. He spoke to them with love to relate the Torah. The people now got it. They got it. We now understand that Mishpat is not just the law. Yikov Hadin Esahar. Mishpat is Asher Tosim Lifnehem. A Shulchan Aruch. Maybe that's why Rashi's giving the mashal in the beginning of the parasha, food. A Shulchan, because here they had food. A Shulchan Aruch umuchan to eat. It has to be with flavor. Now they got it. They said, Naaseh, we're not just going to do the letter of the law, we're going to do the Naaseh together with Nishma. Nishma with an appreciation of the Ta'amei HaMitzvahs. which when you do the law, your job, with the reason, if you're a Rebbe, what's the purpose of being a Rebbe? To be Malame Torah La'amo Yisrael, to raise a new generation of, so what, you're just going to go, whatever it says in the contract? That's not called a Rebbe. The time, the whole purpose of your job, Nase V'Nishma. This approach gives us a mahalich, at least a small mahalich, in trying to understand what is going on here at the end of the parasha in rapid succession, Nase V'Nishma, and in the middle, the Zavachim, the Shlomim, the Mizbechos were built in order to bring the sacrifice. What sacrifice? The Shlomim, to eat food. The Yikra, in contrast to Vayisaper, a new approach to achieve the result of the Nishma. Okay, let's go to another idea. While we're discussing Nasev Nishma, I want to give you another, an entirely different drush. Entirely different drush. Okay, so basically, put a hard break between what we just said now of why we have a repetition of these two concepts, Nase and then Nase V'Nishma. We mentioned before that according to Rashi, everything that's taking place over here from Perichov Dal took place before Matan Torah. According to the Ramban, everything took place after Matan Torah. Everything. So we have the question, everything before and after Matan Torah, so what's going on? Why do we have a repetition of Nase V'Nishma, the Mizbechos, Ma Korah, what's going on? Now, I didn't see anyone say this, but let's just play around now, okay? I don't know if you're even allowed to say such a thing, but let's play around now. I'm not saying anything wild. Why can we combine Rashi and the Ramban? If we were to combine Rashi and the Ramban, it would make life a lot easier. And say very simply that the El Moshe Amar, the Pshuta Shel Mikra, is going after Matan Torah. The Ramban says, okay, King can argue with the Ramban. The Ramban says, Perichov Dalid, after Matan Torah, Hashem says, Moshe, come to Shemayim, meaning come after Matan Torah, come back for another 40 days. And before Moshe goes, Moshe just relates everything, he reviews the events that have happened so far, the Aseres HaDibros, all of the laws that he taught them in after Matan Torah, and before he goes up for another 40 days to study in more depth. Okay, finishes. Then, let us suggest, after Moshe does that, and the people say, Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Nase, and Moshe writes everything down. Now the problem is there's no parsha break to do such a thing, so that's why really I'm saying it's a little bit dangerous to say such a thing. It really is, because if it at least be a parsha break, it would be a little bit easier. But then let us suggest, I don't think it's impossible to say such a thing, when it says, Vayichtov Moshe, Eis kol divrei Hashem, this indeed took place before Matan Torah. So what would be so terrible if we would say, Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim, the beginning of Parperichov Dalid until Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Nase, and the first three psukim took place after Matan Torah. And then from Pasuk Dalid to the end of this section is reviewing what took place before Matan Torah, like Rashi. What would the advantage be? The advantage would be, because we really have two different stories. Two stories were almost the same. Moshe comes, he tells the people what happened, and they say, Nase. Then we have the story of building Mizbechos and bringing Korbanos. And Moshe concludes this story by Vayikra and the people saying, Nase V'Nishma, which seems to be a different story. What would be so terrible if that took place after or before Matan Torah? And the truth is, what I'm about to say, you don't really need to say that it took place before Matan Torah. You can say it took place after Matan Torah. What am I trying to say? Rashi here emphasizes the Torah, Chumash Bereshis, and the beginning of Chumash Shemos until Matan Torah. Right before it says in the pasuk, Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Nase V'Nishma, Rashi says, Moshe took the Sefer HaBeris, Mibereshis, the Ad Matan Torah, Umitzvos Shenitztavu Bimara. The mitzvos they received after Kriyas Yamsuf, they settled in Mara, and Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael a collection of mitzvos. That is called the Sefer HaBris. He read that, Be'ozne ha'om ba'yoyimru, Kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. According to Rashi, na'aseh v'nishma was never said on Kol HaTorah Kula. Isn't that an amazing thing? We are brainwashed that Matan Torah, Kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. Na'aseh v'nishma omru ki yechot. By Matan Torah. According to Rashi, it's not true. Na'aseh v'nishma was only said on Chumash Bereishis and on the beginning of Parashat Shemos, Chumash Shemos, until Kriyas Yamsuf, until they came to Mara, until the event of B'chodesh Hashlishi, Litzeis, B'nei Yisrael, Me'eretz, Mitzrayim, B'yom Hazeh, Bo Midbar Sinai. What about what happened by Har Sinai, the Aseres HaDibros? The only thing we have is a pasuk in Parshas Yisro, Naaseh. And over here again, a pasuk of Naaseh in the beginning of this parasha. I want to suggest is that indeed, Klal Yisrael, on the, according to Rashi, we're pretty clear, and after hear the Ramban will help us a little bit, is that Klal Yisrael only said Naaseh v'nishma on the Torah until Matan Torah. But from Matan Torah and onward, they only said Nasi. Now, what does that mean? Until Matan Torah, what is the tafkid of the Torah? It's the Ovos. It's the Mesorah. It's our history. It's where we come from. It's Musar. It's Hashkofa. It's the frame of mind of a Jew. Matan Torah is the law. Starting with Matan Torah, we have the Taryag Mitzvos. This is the Halacha. In Yadus, there are two parts. There is the Halacha, and then there's Hashkafa. And obviously, the two are intertwined very much. Every time we do Halacha, we do the Halacha based upon, you know, the Musar of the Halacha and the Hashkafa. When we study Chumash Bereishis, and until Kriyas Yam, through Kriyas Yam, are we studying halacha? There's no halacha. In fact, there's no medrash halacha. There's a medrash halacha. There's the sifra and the sifrei. The sifra is on Vayikra. The sifrei is Bamidbar and Devarim. Then there's the mechilta. The mechilta is medrash halacha starting with Yisro. But until before, there's no mitzvahs. So there's no medrash halacha. There's nothing to talk about. So what then is the tafkid of Bereishis and the beginning of Shemos? It's to teach us our yesoid, our foundation, our where we come from. The musr of Klal, the hadrocha, the hashkof of Klal Yisrael. In hashkofa, there is an obligation of nishma to understand who the avos were. Nishma has a connotation of depth, of understanding. To understand where we come from, where we're going, the purpose of this world, what our role in this life is all about. There's a purpose of nishma. But mitzvahs? No one's asking you to make up reasons for doing the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs you have to do whether you understand them or not. It's a gezeres hamakom. Chukim u'mishpatim, you have no choice. Taryag mitzvos inochinami. The proper attitude to observe taryag mitzvos by Matan Torah is naseh, just naseh. And that's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. Moshe, LaRamban. The Ramban says Moshe came down from Har Sinai and he reviewed with them all of the laws, and the Klal Yisrael said, naseh. Taryag mitzvos, we're going to do whether we understand them or not. But then we have another section where Moshe Rabbeinu, as Rashi says explicitly, Moshe Rabbeinu reviews, he takes the Sefer HaBris He takes Chumash Bereishis and then Chumash Shemos, and he writes it up and he reviews it. This is not halacha. This is hashkafa. In the world of hashkafa, you have to not just live do the hashkafa. You have to live the hashkafa. You have to. It has to be a nase v'nishma. And that's indeed why these two sections are broken up. Taryag mitzvahs, the proper attitude is nase, but chumash bereishis, the avos hakedoshim, the midos, the maise avos simin labanim. If you want to know the simin labanim, it's not enough just to read the words nishma. You have to understand what exactly happened in by the avos in order to be able to live your life accordingly with the proper hashkafa. That's the two chalokim of Torah. It's the chalik of Torah of Nase and the chalik of Torah of Nase v'nishma. Okay, so we've given over here two completely different approaches to understand the repetition over here at the end of the parasha. We have two psukim, Nase, Nase v'nishma. Our first ma'alach is a sequence of events. Klal Yisrael failed to appreciate the goal. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to shift gears by introducing to Klal Yisrael a warmer approach, not just a harsh approach of mishpat. Food. The way to a man's mind is through his stomach.
No, that's the heart.
The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And Vayikra, Lashon Chiba, in contrast to Vayisaper, giving you all the details, giving you a detailed 500-page book and go through every single law and get you dizzy. Vayikra, Chiba, Lashon of Chiba, then it became Nasa v'Nishma. Our second approach is that there are two Chalukim of Torah. There's the Chalik of Torah of the Midois, the Hashkaf of the Musar, that's Bereishis, and then there is the law. The law, it starts with the Vayishra. So let's go to another idea. We have over here in this week's parasha, we have here the Eved Ivri. Very complex set of rules for the Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri, what happens if he works for 6 years? After the end of 6 years, he says to his master, "Master, I love you. I love you. I ain't going nowhere. I don't want to leave. I want to stay here. A Jewish slave does not work longer than 6 years. A girl, even less. When she brings simonim, or if she can get married in the middle, if the master will marry her or give her in marriage to his son, or if she brings simonim, she becomes 12 years old in the middle, or if 6 years happen to pass, and Echanami shall work for 6 years, but not more than 6 years. If after 6 years by a male, he says, I don't want to leave, you've given me a Shifcha Kenanis, I love her, I love my children, I want to stay. So then it says, we take him to the door, to the Bezdin, V'higishay Adonav Elho Elohim, we take him to the court. The court is the one who sold him to you. And we make the declaration, the court takes him to the door, stands him up, El Adeles Oyel HaMezuzah. Rashi clearly says you don't break, you don't put an awl through the mezuzah. The only reason why it says mezuzah in the pasuk, Rashi says, is to teach you that the door must be vertical. The door must be on its hinges. It must be standing, just like a mezuzah by definition is a vertical post. The door has to be vertical on the hinge, and you take an awl and you make a hole going from the ear through the ear all the way into the door with this martzeya. Va'avodoy le'olam, he is your slave forever, meaning until yovel. What in the world is going on? So I want to suggest that this really is just a repetition of the Maisa of Lot and Avraham. What do I mean? Lot, he saw the money. Lot, he was with Avraham. Avraham saved him, and he saw Sodom. Ah, Sodom. What a luscious Kigan Hashem Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. There was no place in the world that was as lucrative as the business prospects in Sodom were the best. Lot went there, he was attracted by the money. And he stayed there for a period of time, and then Hashem decides he's going to destroy Sodom, and that includes Lot. Hashem tells Avram, you know what, your nephew is going to be obliterated tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, it's going up in smoke. Avram is mispalel. Hashem does not want to listen to Avram to save the whole city, but at least he will save Lot. In the zuchus of Avram, they come there to Sodom, and the only place we find in the entire Torah, besides the parasha of Marzea, the word deles is in the story of Sodom. The malachim come to save Lot, and Lot, then the people of the city come, and it says, Vayiskar hadeles ba'ado. They lock him up. They lock him up in the deles. They put him behind the door. They see things are not going well. They Vayiskar hadeles ba'ado. Lot also locks them in, and then later they reciprocate. They lock him behind the door. And then it's the next morning, and Lot doesn't want to go. And his son-in-laws don't want to go. Vayismamo. It's a shalsheles. Vayismamo. It's a very long trip. To mean there was a very, very long delay. I don't want to go. And they say to him, you don't got a choice. You got to get out of here. Vayotzi'uha. They take him out against his will. But guess what? He really won. Because their plan was to take him out of the five cities of Sodom. And he says, please, please, let me stay in the city of Tsoar. Tsoar was meant to be destroyed. It's a small city. It's not yet, time is not up. The Averois are not yet complete. It was established a year later. So it's not yet Nismala Hasoa. They let it go. So the Malachim say, you know what? Because you made this request, we're going to do something that was not planned. Indeed, we will not destroy the fifth city of Sodom, and you can remain here. And Lot gives them a very good argument why he needs to stay in Tsoar. He says, if I go back to my uncle, Avraham, in Shemayim, when they see the difference between me and him, the difference is so great, it's just a matter of time until the Midas Hadin will strike me down. So better I should be in this city with Rishoim, relative to them, I'm not so bad. That way I'll be able to survive. I'm not yet ready to go back to a society like Avraham Avinu. It's not to my benefit. If I am not holding on that madrega, if you're not, you can't sit and learn for 18 hours a day, it's not a good idea to go to a kollel where they lock the doors and you can't leave for 18 hours. You'll go out of your mind. You'll go crazy. You got to go where you belong. I don't belong there. I don't belong in the presence of Avraham Avinu. It's just not for me. It's not going to work. I need to be by my car. I need to go for rehabilitation. Got to go slow. I got to go slow. Isn't this exactly what's happening here by the Eved Ivri? The Eved Ivri, why is he a slave? Because he saw the beauty of stone. Stone was Kigan Hashem Keretz Mitzrayim, money, money, money. He stole money. He got involved in matters that he should not have been gotten involved in. And one thing led to the other. He stole money. He owes a lot of money. His lust for money resulted in he's now in trouble with money. So he becomes a slave. But the time comes, you have zechusin, 6 years is enough. It's time to get out of here. It's time to get out of the servant to being a slave to money. The reason why he's a slave, obviously, is all related to money, because of his situation. Enough is enough, it's time to go. But a person has the right to say to his master, now, typically, we look at this as a negative. The common understanding is that a slave Rashi really says this. Rashi says, you're a slave. Didn't you hear by Har Sinai that Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim v'loy avodim l'avodim? How dare you go and sell yourself as a slave to another human being? You're my servants. What are you doing? Therefore, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to punish you, and I'm going to make you a slave forever. That doesn't make any sense. Think about that. That's not the Derech Hashem. The Derech Hashem is, you're not out to get you. If a person says, you're only supposed to be a slave for 6 years, because li b'nei Yisrael avodim, v'loy avodim l'avodim, why should we go and punish you by allowing you to be a slave even longer? The Torah doesn't want that. The Torah says that you're not a slave. So we should force you to be released whether you like it or not. Why would the Torah do something which is counterintuitive? That's not the purpose. The Torah says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, v'loy avodim la'avodim. And that's right. So now it's time to leave whether you like it or not. Why is the Torah allowing? Because you don't want to follow this law. Adarabba, we're going to make you a slave even longer. What? Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense. Torah doesn't want that to be the case. The answer has to be that the person has a good reason, a very good reason why he's not yet ready to leave. He can't make it on the outside world. That's right. No less than Lot. In other words, we're trying to use Lot to understand this counterintuitive halacha. Rashi says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim v'loy avodim l'avodim. V'zeh holach v'kona, he acquired an odon la'atzma. And you violated that halacha. Because you violated that halacha, we're going to punish you. You're going to be a slave forever. What? If the Torah doesn't want you to be a slave, why would it punish you to be a slave? There are many other ways the Torah can punish you for violating the law. A person commits murder, he's killed. Person does this avery, pays money, there's a knas. The goal is to get you out of this matzah. And yet we're making you. The answer has to be the person says, I'm not yet ready. Because leaving the safety of a master who's in the process of rehabilitating me at this early stage is not in my best interest, because outside in the free world, I'm going to end up stealing more money and doing more averos and getting myself back into this situation even worse than I was before. I'm not yet ready, no less than the argument that Lloyd presented the Malachim and was accepted as being sound. What did Lot say to the Malachim? I'm in Sodom. Sodom is going to be destroyed. I got to get out of here. You're taking me, I'm behind the Delos. You're taking me out of the, you're forcing me out of the Delos. You're forcing me to leave. But I'm not ready to leave. If I'm going to leave now and go into the free world, you know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to die. I'm going to go and I'm going to be eaten up because I can't survive. I'm not yet ready. If I'll be in the presence of Avraham Avinu, the Midas Hadin will strike me down in 10 seconds. So therefore, I need to remain in Sodom, in a different place of Sodom. What place of Sodom? It's Tsoar. But Tsoar is part of Sodom. And the Malachim say to him, yes, we accept your argument. You're not going to leave. We'll destroy four cities, and you'll stay in this city. And you will let you remain put here in this location. It's the same exact thing. We take him to the door. Is the Delos. The only other place where the Delos appears in Tanakh is the Delos of Lot. And we take the Marzea, and we connect him to the door, and we say to him, the argument you're making is the same argument that Lot made when he was behind the door. And we accepted his argument that he's not ready. We're here to help you. We're also going to accept your argument. We're going to let you be rehabilitated until La'olam for another couple of years until Yovel comes. What's the Musa Haskel, Rabbi Sai? Listen to the patient. A patient comes to a doctor and he says to the doctor, gives an x-ray, does all these exams, and the doctor says, this is what's wrong with you. The patient says, doctor, I think you're making a mistake. I know it says on the test A, B, and C, but I'm telling you there's something else going on. There's another way to explain the situation, why the results are such. The doctor says, listen, I'm the doctor, you're the patient, don't tell me what to do, take this medicine, let me bill the insurance, I'll make a lot of money, you'll feel better, Shalom al Yisrael. The patient says, doctor, you're wrong. I'm telling you, you don't understand. You're not hitting the nail on the head. It's true, all of my symptoms indicate this, but there's something else going wrong. This is Maisim Bechol Yom. What do you learn from the Torah? You have a sick patient, a person who is an Eved Ivri, is a spiritually sick person. He has committed terrible averos. And the result of the whole process, you don't become an Eved Ivri overnight. The Chazal said there's a long process to become an Eved Ivri. You reach a point where you're an Eved Ivri, you know what Eved Ivri is? Your rehabilitation. You're home now, you're a slave, you're in a safe haven, and you're going to be rehabilitated by your master by getting you up to speed to re-enter society. It's a rehabilitation center, an Eved Ivri. You know, it's like a prison. Do we have prisons in the Torah?
No.
We do. We have a miskar. We have all different. But the ultimate prison cell in the Torah is an Eved Ivri. It's a safe house. It's a rehabilitation center. We learned in Nevi'im, we had by Yirmiyah, he was put in the Chotzer HaMatorah. And then we have by the Koishesh HM, he was put in the Mishmar. And the other, like, there are many, many terms in Tanakh to describe prison. What is the purpose of a prison? There's another prison presented in this week's parasha that is the ultimate prison, and it really is called a correction facility. And that is the host of the Eved Ivri. It's pure rehabilitation to enter into society. And here, when the term is over, the prisoner says, I'm not ready. Because I can't survive in the outside world. I will end up being nichshol and doing more averos. And the master says, you're right. I'm going to listen to you. I'm not going to go and force you out, because it says in the pasuk, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, avodim, v'loy avodim l'avodim. I'm not going to go and just smack you in the face and say, this is the law. I'm going to listen to you. If you're telling me that you have another issue, you're not ready to be released to society, you need more rehabilitation, that's right. We're going to rehabilitate you until Yovel. And how do I know, where do I learn the lesson of rehabilitation? I learn it from Lot. Because Lot told the Malachim, listen to me, I'm the patient. The Malachim are the ultimate doctors. The Malachim, they know what you're thinking. They can see right through you better than the best CAT scan, MRI, PET scan. They can see it all. They see it all, the Malachim. The Malachim, they have a whole different set of rules. And yet, Lot says to the Malachim, listen to me. Don't listen to the machines. And the Malachim say, you're right. We're going to take all the results of all of these machines that are perfect. We're going to throw it in the garbage. If you really feel this is the issue, we're going to listen. We're not going to destroy the fifth city. We're going to let you live to be rehabilitated until you're ready to enter into society. So in other words, the results now here is a chiddush. What happens next is not important. That's a new story. But they listen to him. So it comes out now, the chiddush, is that why do you take the mitzvah to the door? The common understanding is you take him to the door to punish him. You're doing something to the mitzvah. No. You're taking him to the door as it's for the Bezdin. The Bezdin is being politely reminded, to be politely reminded that you, the Bezdin, should listen. You take his ear. You know why you take his ear? Because his ear is really your ear. You take his ear and you take it to the door and you bang it on the door. It's a mussar to the Bezdin. Bezdin, you listen. Listen to what this fellow has to say. Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim. He's doing an aver. You got to get rid of, got to get him out of avdos. But he's telling you he's not ready. He needs more rehabilitation. Listen. Go back and look at the door. The story of the door was the story where the authority, who the malachim, listened to what the patient had to say. And based upon their listening, they acted upon that, and they did not destroy one-fifth of Sodom to allow him to survive. If he tells you he can't leave, it's right. He can't leave. It's for his benefit. Let him stay. It's not counterintuitive. This whole mahalach completely changes everything. And it opens up new insight into who the purpose of the door is, and the obligation to listen, the purpose of being an evidiv of rehabilitation. And if you're not yet ready, you need more rehabilitation, that's right. Give him more rehabilitation. Okay, let's wind down very quickly. One last thing, I have a whole bunch of things I won't tell you, but we are out of time. But one last thing to wind down is Parashas Shkolim. The Parashas Mishpatim, the first Rashi in the Parashah tells us that you're supposed to put, the end of Parashas Yisro concludes with the story of the Mizbeach. That's the end of Parashas Yisro. And then begins the Eile HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem. And what does Rashi say? Mikan, from here you learn that there's supposed to be a justice system. The Sanhedrin HaGadol should sit and judge right next to the Mizbeach. Mizbeach, Mikdash. There are two Gersois in Rashi. Rashi says Mikdash, and then in the brackets it says Mizbeach. Is that correct? In the art scroll? It says there, it says the first Rashi. Rashi says, when I say Rashi, it says Lifnei'em. Mizbeach, brackets. Lemelcha, Shetosim Sanhedrin Eitzel HaMikdash, Sephardim Achedim HaMizbeach. The Smichus of the end of the last week's parasha, Mizbach Adama Ta'aseli, Ve'ele HaMishpatim. There is no greater parasha of Mizbeach than this week's parasha. Why? Because it's Parasha Shkolim. What's Parasha Shkolim? Everyone in Klal Yisrael has to give a machtis ha-shekel so that when they bring on the Mizbeach every single day, the Tamid Shal Shachar and Tamid Shal Ben Harboim, and when they bring the Karban Musafim, you, the Jew, have a chelik in what goes on the Mizbeach. Right? So this week is the Parshas HaMizbeach. We're giving money for the Mizbeach, to bring sacrifices on the Mizbeach. And it's also Parshas Mishpatim. It's not just this week, it's not just with Somuch to Parshas Yisro that has the Mizbeach. The fact that this Shabbos is Shabbos Parshas Shkolim, which is the donation of money to have a chelek in the korbanos that go on the Mizbeach, that's the ultimate smichus to the Eile HaMishpatim, the laws, and what else is in the Parsha? The whole Parsha is about an ox goring someone else's ox, guarding property, returning lost objects, and paying fines, all about money. What's the Musa Haskel? The Musa Haskel is Pasha Admoed, is that when you go out into the world of business, don't forget that there's no difference between the Beis HaMikdash, a world of spirituality, offering sacrifices to Hashem, and dealing with money. Many people, unfortunately, have an attitude is that religion ends when you walk out of shul. You come to shul, and until 9 o'clock, there's something called the Mizbeach. You neshalma fodim sifaseinu. We have the Mizbeach. Parsha Shkolim, we give money, we support the Mizbeach, we bring korbanos. And at 9 o'clock on the dot, when the bell rings, then Torah goes out the door. And now it's the survival of the fittest. Man eat man. No, you do whatever you can do to make a quick buck, no matter what, ethics, forget about. Forget about. If you can get away with it, go for it. That, unfortunately, is a very common attitude. This parasha begins, Ve'ele ha-mishpotim asher tosim lefnehem, it's samuch to the Mizbeach. This year, it's even better. It's not just samuch to the Mizbeach in the parasha, it's parasha shkolim. We give money, we support. What kind of hypocrite can you be when you support the bringing of the sacrifices on the Mizbeach with money that you've earned unethically? Not even get it illegal, but earning money by stepping on someone else and learning it unethical, what kind of hypocrisy is that? The powerful Musar of the Eile HaMishpatim of this Rashi is not just this year only because it's Samuch to Parshas Yisro. This year, in fact, most years, by design, we nail you. We really heavily come upon you by the maftir of the laws of Mishpat are the Mizbeach, Mamish the Mizbeach. Well, you see, it's sandwiched, put it like that. Before we begin the parasha, Parashas Yisro's v'mizbach avonim ta'aseh li, Mizbeach. When we finish Mishpatim, what do we do then? What do we do then? We lay in Parashas Kisisa. What's Kisisa about? The Mizbeach. You collect shkolim from Klal Yisrael to bring sacrifices daily on the Mizbeach. So this week, it's sandwiched. The Mizbeach sandwiches us at the end and the beginning. In the middle is money to teach you. You better make sure that your religion, your religious beliefs and convictions and penetrates your dealings with money every single day. Have a wonderful Shabbos.